Sometimes we confuse praising God with worshiping God. When you praise God, you are praising Him for the things that He has done for you. Well, He gave you a job, gave you an awesome wife, you know, Wendy, you know, gave you a house, something. You praise God for that stuff. Now, by the way, when you are worshiping God, you worship God because He is God. No strings attached. You worship God because He is the Almighty God, the CEO of the universe. All right, the captain of our lives, the one who can snuff you out in a second. You come before Him and you break down. You worship Him because He is awesome. Genesis chapter 22. Before we go there, let's read John 4:23. This is a short two lines about something that happened when Jesus met a woman at the well. I want us to read that before we go into what I'm about to talk about. John 4:23. So during their conversation, you know, Jesus said to this woman, give me some water. The woman said, you don't have anything to fetch the water. You know, and Jesus said, if you know who is talking to you, all that stuff, go read it. Jesus said, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship their Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is looking for a certain specific way for people to worship Him. Worship, like John said earlier on, is a decision you have to make. You don't just walk into worship. You plan it out. The meaning of worship is worth-ship. Okay, something that is worth something to you. Your most prized possession. You give it up to God. Look into your life. What is the most important thing to you? Something that you cannot live without. Kids, it's not your cell phone. But I'm just saying, something that is the most important to you, you give it up. For Americans, it's our time. Our time. Are you willing to give up your time for God? Are you really worshiping God? You see, when Jesus was having a conversation with this woman, Jesus was asking for water. The woman thought it was just water, but that was not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was asking for worship. As water is to the body, you can go a couple of days without food. Water, you will die. Worship is the water to our soul. Worship is what feeds our spirit. If you are not worshiping God, you are dying. Explain. Lack of worship is making our marriages die. Lack of worship, our kids are all over the place. Because of lack of worship, we don't even find fulfillment in our relationships, our jobs, or the things that we love. You see, worship is the only thing that draws our spirit out. Everything we do on earth, we use our physical abilities. Your job, your marriage, you know, you look cute, you get a cute husband, you know. You don't look cute, you know, you get a husband, you know, whatever, you know. Just say, everybody's cute. But, you know, if you are talented, you get a job. If you are smart, you get, you know, become a CEO or something, you know. If you are, okay, let me end right there. I didn't take my medication today, so. All right, but you understand what I'm saying? Everything that we do, okay, we use our physical abilities to do it. But when it comes to worship, you cannot use your intellect to worship God. You cannot do that. You cannot use your physical strength to worship God. It takes your spirit to worship God. You see, that is why most of us are dying. Because we are treating church service, coming here, as a business. No bueno. When you come here, you are coming to worship God. It's the deep calling unto the deep. Your spirit calling unto the one who created it. You come here to connect to the one who made you. So when you come here and all you think about is time and when is this going to be over, and the song is, you know, that Daniel guy, I don't even know. No. You are here to connect to something deeper. Genesis 22. How do we do that? Genesis chapter 22, starting from 22. Now, if the Bible you are holding or whatever you're holding, you can underline. I want you to underline certain things as we read this scripture. Sometime later, now this time, Abraham has gotten the son, one and only, and God came to him and said, like, yo, bro, that one thing that you've been so excited about, I want you to kill it for me. What? I waited 100 years, man! Kill it! God is like, And Abraham said, okay. You know why he was able to say okay? Because over the years, as John was reading, he's experienced certain things. This dude gave up his wife 2 times. 2 times for someone else to marry him. God had to intervene and say, yo, if you touch that woman, I'll kill you. Sisters, if your husband gives you up for 1 second, what will happen? You know, Joe Charles goes to New Jersey. It's like, yo, when you go to New Jersey, tell Governor Chrissy that you are my sister. And then Governor Chrissy is like, yo, okay, I'm marrying your sister. Something wrong will happen. We cannot relate to that realm of thinking. But that's what this guy did. And you know what is funny? The Bible really doesn't say anywhere that God punished Abraham. Have you thought about that? But Abraham knew he messed up. Big time. But you see, God's grace was sufficient for him. And over all those years, through the trials and sleeping with the slave and giving birth to another son and all the ruckus going on in the family, God was still there guiding him. And he saw that. He understood that. And his faith in God grew to a certain point where when God came to him and said, give up your son, he was able to say, okay, I'll do it. You see, coming to a level of true worship does not just happen because you are cute. It doesn't just happen because you are in this church. It doesn't just happen because you know the Bible back and front. No. This is a discipline. It's a true connection that nobody else can teach you. You have to find that out yourself with God. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On a mountain, I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded up his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood, now underline that, enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire, underlying the fire, and the knife, underlying the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father," and you know the question, "we have all the accoutrements for the sacrifice. What's up with the goat or the sheep? What, you know?" Abraham was like, "You know, God will provide. You know, let's just go with the flow. You know, all right." It's interesting that it took them 3 days to get to the mountain. You know, three is an important number. You know. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. It took 3 days. Time. When you want to cultivate a heart of worship, it takes time. You cannot rush worship. You want to worship God? You have to be prepared to spend time. Because when you read the Bible, every time anyone meets God or comes into the presence of an angel, they fall face down and scream, "I'm dead. I'm so dirty. I'm not even supposed to be here." Three things, if you want to really worship God, three things you want to consider. One, your wood. The wood represents your desperation and gratitude to God. To burn wood, it has to be cut off the tree to get dry and be burned. If you are in this room, wood is an equal opportunity employer. Everybody has wood. What is wood? Wood is whatever God has taken away from you. That sin that God cleaned from you, if you're a disciple, is your wood. That thorn in your flesh that you cannot kick, that you cannot talk to anybody about, that thing, that is your wood. Everybody has a wood. The question is, have you connected with your wood? Do you know why you come here? Do you know why you need God? Do you come here because you feel entitled? Oh, if I don't show up, someone will call me. So, you know, I'm just... No. You come here or you worship God because you need him. Right. You come here because you are grateful. Look, some of us, if God didn't show up in our lives, we would have been dead. We come here and when we are singing, we are crying and we are screaming. People think we are crazy. No. We are grateful to be here. Right. If God showed you what I have been through, you guys will all march up here, carry me out and throw me out of this building. I am grateful to be here. I didn't just show up here because, you know, I'm Daniel. Please. Your wood is your desperation and your gratitude to God. Before you walk up here in the morning to come here, ask yourself, what am I grateful for? What am I desperate about to come here and just fall face down in the presence of God? Because he is the only one who can do this. You see, if you don't worship God properly, you would require, you would look for that emptiness in your heart in other places. Because of lack of worship, people have jumped from relationship to relationship looking for that thing. They want to be satisfied. Your spirit is calling out to God. But people are going to women, men, drugs, jobs to look for that fulfillment. No, it is God. God is the only one who can fill that space. Single guys and single ladies, If you don't know how to worship God, when you get into marriage, watch out. Because your wife will be looking for it from you, or you will be looking for it from your wife. Oh, he doesn't make me happy. She doesn't make... No. Nobody's supposed to make you happy. God is supposed to make you happy. When you worship God, your heart will be fulfilled, so that you come into a relationship prepared to give.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Fire. Fire burns. Fire is a good servant and a serious master. Fire purifies things. Fire represents purification. So if you want to worship God, after you've recognized your word, the fire is the zeal and passion you bring into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, every time the priest goes into the Holy of Holies, read Deuteronomy and all those Old Testament stuff, they go in there with an incense, with fire in there, to burn incense. That fire was a physical representation of what we need to be when we come into the presence of God. You cannot come here like you just ate a lemon outside and you talk to me. You come here prepared. You come here fired up because you are walking into the presence of an awesome God. You come here to bow down. You come here ready to do whatever he wants. Music or no music, not somebody saying hi to you or not, you come here ready because it is time to recharge. You bring your zeal in here. Some of you Mr. Jimmy over there had a little red car. sudden, right? Red sudden. I mean, we were going on a date in Long Island to encourage our sisters there.
Come on, bro.
Look, we packed ourselves. Some of us, our heads were sticking out there. And we were squished in there. Why did we do that? We were just going to encourage our sisters. When was the last time you just took a sister out just because you want them to feel awesome? What's up there? Sisters have to beg to go on dates up in here. What's the deal? Brothers, you need to serve. You hear me? You need to serve. I'm sorry, I digress. All right, so.
Keep it going, bro. Keep it going.
The last thing is the knife. I need to, because the teachers will kill me.
Come on, Daniel.
The last thing is the knife. Knife is what we use to slice and dice.
Yeah.
They both.
You see, back home, we have a tribe called the Fulanese. They always carry a knife. And their knives are so sharp. They were the only people who can really kill a cow properly. Because when they kill the cow, they skin it in a way that the skin comes off, and that's what they use for drums and stuff. Man, the knife touches the skin and... And they always make sure they carry something with them to sharpen that knife. Always. Knife is the willingness to come into the presence of God and get rid of your junk. Some of us come in here with our junk and we live with the junk. No, you come in here to cut them off. That's how you worship. You come in here to cut them off. You have some issues, trust me. You have other brothers and sisters in this room who have been there, done that, wearing the t-shirt. They can tell you what to do to get out of the mess. But we keep our mouth shut. We don't tell nobody. And then we go about carrying our burdens. Nobody knows their trouble. No, because they're not talking about it.
Come on, man.
In my language, they say that if you are sick and you don't talk about it, you die. You need to talk about it for someone hearing that disease, say, oh, I know some medication that can help you. And then they help you out. How are we using our knives? When was the last time you came to church and called someone to confess some sex up in here? When was the last time you called a brother, bro, man, some thoughts I'm having, man, that's, Brother, man, today my wife was making me late. And I was struggling. No, Wendy. Talking about Wendy, come on. She's always on time.
Reach.
Brothers, don't laugh too hard. Anyways, so, listen. I'm not looking at anybody, so that you look. It's a waste of time for us to come here, carry our sins here, and not talk about it and go back with the same thing.
Yeah.
We come here. God, will it not be so crazy? Starving. And then someone takes you to a buffet of food. And you're like, nah, I don't want to eat. I'm too cute to eat. 2 hours later, you step out of the restaurant, still hungry. What? Buffet! Chicken wings and stuff. Frog legs. Oh, no, sorry. You know, eat.
No frog legs.
Like, no, I don't want to eat. That's what we do when we come
here with our sin and we don't talk about it and then we live with it. You are killing yourself. If you don't show up in heaven, it's your fault.
Come on, talk about it, bro.
Because God did everything, I mean everything, to make sure you make it. Everything. Wow. Look, for the lack of time, I could have gone around this room and mentioned any sin. You will find a double in this room. Any sin. I'm top any sin. There is nothing nobody has done in this room, including myself. Nobody, somebody else in this room has gone through and has been able to come out.
Come on.
There is always, always someone to help you cut it off. Because the Spirit of God that is here is in me and is in you. And God puts us here to help each other. Amen. Make it to heaven.
Amen.
Like, no, I'm too cute. I don't want to talk about my sin. You see, it's funny. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, including the Pope.
Come on.
So is it not weird that we come here acting like, yeah, holy. The only thing holy about you is your holy socks. Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. No. No, when you had to throw out all my old holy socks, you know. But, yeah, no, seriously.
Come on.
Cut it off! Your wood. Your fire and your knife. If you don't have these three things together, coming in here or coming into the presence of God in your kitchen, in yo, some of us, our best times of worshiping God in serenity is in the bathroom. Oh, I'm serious. Find that quiet place that you can connect. You know, have you ever experienced the day that a song was playing and that song touched you so deep that you wanted to pray but you couldn't pray? Or you could say, oh God, God knows that, because the Spirit is interceding, the deep calling out to the deep. Do you understand? This is not show. This is not coming here to look cute and sing a couple of songs and go home. No. This is a place of healing. Do you understand? This is the place to come prepared to get healed, to go out there and face that crazy world. The next time you come into a place of worship, come prepared. Come ready. You ask yourself, what is my wood? What is the fire I'm bringing here? Are you bringing a bunch of water to pour on everybody's fire? What is the knife I'm bringing here? Look, we have to make it to heaven. All of us. If you don't understand what I'm saying, ask someone to help you open the scriptures, help you figure it out. We all have to, because I want to see all of you there. I want to be there too. So when you see me messing up, pull me and kick my behind. Oh. But like, bro, we got to make it. We have to be our brothers and sisters keepers.
Amen.
And these three things are the only way we can do it. Because when we have our priorities right, and we go to the right person, who can fill in that void in our hearts, then we are free to love like the way we're supposed to. Then husbands are not stressing out wives, you don't make me happy. No, I'm not supposed to make you happy. God is supposed to make you happy. Wives are not stressing husbands, oh, you put your clothes in the, oh no, that right, I did that, sorry. No, I mean, you don't make me, God. God is the only person who can fulfill you. If you are waiting to start dating to feel fulfilled,
talk about it, bro. Come on.
Ask all the married people. I think we before someone gets married, all the married people should line up and really give them their dream. Like, bro! You think you're gonna get it down? No! Yo, marriage is work. If you're not prepared and you don't have your connection with God, amen.